KFAI-FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, online and archived at kfai.org, the community's true voice.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
You are listening to Fresh Air Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and 106.7 in St. Paul. This is Health Notes from the Hearts of a Natural Woman.
This program will inspire you, inform you, feed you healthy recipes, engage you politically, enlighten you spiritually. So many people go through life believing they are being cheated or that the world owes them something. This world owes us nothing except the opportunity to express our highest self. The world does not owe us a house. We are not owed a car. We are not owed money, furs, or diamonds because the opportunity to have is ours at birth. The Creator has wisely provided us with the most important things in life: the air to breathe, the sun to warm and nurture, the abundant beauty of nature, and the opportunity to choose. Divine guidance and inspiration are available to all whenever they are needed. Believing that certain things are only given to certain people, we get stuck without realizing all is available to all. We must ask those who believe they are owed something, from whom do they think it will come? Affirmation. All that I am owed comes to me by choice. That comes from the book Acts of Faith. Daily Meditations. Ianla Van Zandt. Good evening. You're listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis, and we're streaming online at kfai.org. And this is Health Notes from the Hearts of a Natural Woman, and I'm Kinshasha. This evening, we're going to be talking about the new book by Dr. Randy Kamen, Behind the Therapy Door. We're going to be talking about simple strategies to transform our lives. Dr. Kamen is a psychologist and educator who has been a pioneer in the territory of mind-body medicine at Boston University School of Medicine and Harvard Spalding Rehabilitation Hospital for over 25 years. She's been integrating insight-oriented and cognitive behavioral therapy with holistic methods in her research and clinical work. This book tells the unique story of six different women and strategies that were used to help them make it through those challenges and transitions. Good evening, Dr. Kamen. How are you?
Fine. Thanks for having me, Kinshasha.
How did this book come about?
Well, actually, it's not 25 years. It's over 35 years. I've been working in the trenches with women and men. And what I really found was that there were certain approaches, certain methodologies that everybody needed to learn. I thought those strategies would be so valuable to put out there to people so that whether they needed therapy or wanted therapy or not, they would have the tools that they needed to just create their best lives, no matter what. I developed this systematic approach, which I weave through the stories that I present in the book. And everybody that reads the book will learn this systematic approach, which I use with each woman, even though her challenges might be different. And the book stands to help men. I just wanted to put that out there, as well as women, but I did choose to speak to a female audience, but that does not mean that it doesn't apply to men as well.
There's something about the word therapy that people shy away from because we're so afraid of labels and people thinking that we're mentally ill. And so it seems like a lot of us will just stay sick versus being labeled as sick.
It's astounding to me that there's still a judgment about therapy. No one on this radio show listening have somebody in their lives that has not or would not have benefited from therapy at one point in their lives or another. I'm not saying everybody needs it. Certainly, we know people in our lives that benefit from it, whether it's a suicidal kid or somebody that's taking drugs or addicted to alcohol or has terrible relational skills and just needs to learn how to be more in control of feelings and thoughts and really mastering some of the torment that may exist internally. It doesn't for everybody, but who wouldn't benefit from learning how to self-regulate even better when transitions and challenges come up? No matter what, no matter what, we have better tools or tools, period, to deal with the changes, the losses, the challenges that come up inevitably in our lives. Nobody gets out alive. So we all need to know how to deal when we lose a loved one or when we make a move or we lose a job or we have problems with a kid. Learning some skills about how to be calmer and more positive and more connected and more energized can only be of value.
We're talking this evening on Health Notes with Dr. Randy Kamen, her new important book, Behind the Therapy Door, Simple Strategies to Transform Your Life. If you don't mind, Doctor, I'm going to deviate a little bit because there is been such a transition. You're talking about transitions in this book, and America seems to be going through a transition right now. There has been
I'd say so.
A change in leadership in this country from a pretty calm, steady leadership to one that is chaotic, that creates a lot of divisions. And what I personally notice, and I never thought that the leadership of the country would have such an impact on the way that people conduct themselves. I notice that people are really angry. People take extremes. Some of my own clients who seem pretty sane until you bring up the name Trump, especially if they're a Trump supporter, and then they seem to have drank the Kool-Aid. Right. Any words of wisdom for those of us who are attempting to navigate this new time so that we can bring our best self to what the next 3 years will entail?
It is a very challenging time right now, and no matter where you stand, everybody's been impacted, and that there's this really contagious-like effect. And to me, the bottom line is that the way we conduct ourselves and the way we create a foundation from which we can stand with integrity and the way we bring that into the world is the best that we can do. So if we really allow ourselves to be the best person that we could bring and bring that forth every day into whatever it is we're doing and bring our highest selves, then we will create a ripple effect because that positive energy is also contagious. And while there's a lot of negative emotion out there, there's a lot of anger and rage, confusion, I think we each have to take responsibility for our own psyches, if you will, and learn fundamental tools like I give in the book, how to breathe to ground yourself, how to be grateful for whatever you have going on in a day that's positive, how to take in positive emotions rather than glomping on to the negativity, which is really, it's hard to resist because it's so prevalent, but we could do it. We just have to learn how to stand in our power. And each one of us is responsible for standing in our own power and bringing forth the best possible energy to our families, to our friends, to the people that the barista at Starbucks, who, wherever we're going, we need to bring that forth rather than sinking into the abyss of the negativity. It starts by just being present, being in our bodies, occupying full space in our bodies by breathing, by bringing mindfulness into our lives, by gratitude and really connection. And I think if we really build those things, then we are poised to find our purpose and have a greater understanding that as individuals, that when we act individually and collectively, we stand to make a difference to ourselves, to our families, to the country, and beyond.
Will breath and being connected with our bodies prevent us from identifying with the chaos that seems to be happening in our world?
I think it will help enormously. And I don't mean just connecting within, but connecting with others. Trying to keep an open heart, even in the face of, I mean, I can't agree with you more on your take about what's going on. I think there's a lot of trauma going on in this world, in this country right now. We have to rise above it, even though it's so cuckoo. The best way we could do that is to take responsibility for our own selves, ground ourselves on a daily basis. So in the book, I talk about daily rituals, morning, afternoon, and evening rituals that are all basic to finding that grounding that we all need. It doesn't matter where you stand in all of this. Mm-hmm. We all will benefit by doing just a few simple exercises, and all of them take under 5 minutes in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. And just by building in 15 minutes a day, you could really transform the way you show up in your own life and with other people so that you don't have to carry that negativity around, because that negativity brings us down and less effective. And why would we want to engage in that, even if we're not happy with the way things are playing out? I can't think of too many people that are really happy with how things are playing out in this country right now. It's frightening and it's weird to many. I can't think of too many people that think it's good the way it is. We need to make the best out of what we can. We can't wish away 3 years. Those are three precious years of our lives. Connecting with each other and connecting, you know, internally so that every day you're just, okay, I'm breathing, I'm good, I have a positive intention for myself and for the people in my life and to the greater world out there every single day. You bring that forth and it will change you or whoever practices this energetically. Everything I talk about is research-based. There's nothing woo-woo about my book. All founded on the best and most current research about how to change the way your brain fires so that you can have a more positive, joyful life. And that's regardless of circumstance. Regardless, because we're always going to have challenges. If it wasn't what's happening politically, then it would be something else. There's always something that we're facing, truth be told. This one happens to be huge, but we have lots of personal things, relational things. And when you have the tools to deal with any of it, it applies to all of it.
Spring is here.
How can you tell?
The snow is gone.
We didn't get any snow.
It's warming up.
It never really got cold.
Things are looking green.
It's been spring since October.
And the KFAI Spring Member Drive is coming.
Oh, yeah, that's always a sure sign.
So get ready to go to KFAI.org to support non-commercial, community-powered radio.
Hey, we didn't have to shovel.
We're talking this evening about the important new book, Behind the Therapy Door. Dr. Randy Kamen is our guest this evening. Simple strategies to transform your life. When I think about America, what I think about is that our rhetoric is that we are the most prosperous country in the world, and we have more than pretty much everybody else in the world. But it seems that so many of us can only survive this great country if we're popping a pill, taking a drink, smoking some herb. We are numbing ourselves in order to not feel what we feel, to not feel the pain, to not feel the stress. Can you share with us some strategies that we can use so that we can be present,
yes,
really
I
be
can.
Present in our lives?
Yes, I can. And that's really what the whole, I mean, that sets the stage for the whole book. And the way that we could learn to tolerate difficult emotions, so I spend a lot of time talking about that in the book, because most of us don't want to ride the waves of our emotions. And the only way through a difficult emotion is exactly that, is through it. So if you take a pill, or if you're drinking, or if you're smoking weed just to get through something, then what you're really doing is avoidant behavior, and you're not really going through it. It's okay if that works, but it's only okay temporarily, because sooner or later you have to deal with the demons of your life or the things that are really challenging for you, because if you don't deal with them, they just persist. Yeah, I'm sure you've heard the expression, what you resist persists. We have to come to terms with our emotional reality. And one of the ways to do that, and I talk a lot about that in the book, and I also have a free audio for anybody interested. I'll give you the link if you're interested. It's all about abdominal breathing, because breathing in a deep way, in an abdominal way, is the fastest way, other than injecting yourself with something, that you can get the parasympathetic nervous system going. So that's the way you induce a relaxation response, just by breathing abdominally, but knowing how to do it well. So what you're doing is you're making conscious an unconscious act and making it better, improving upon it, and getting so good at it that ultimately you could let go of focusing on it, and automatically you're just breathing abdominally. For in our culture, for some reason, we have not taught out our children. So by first grade, children are not breathing like this. Everybody should be breathing like this. When you're breathing abdominally, you're not only present, you're embodying your body, and you're feeling emotionally calmer. You're feeling calmer, more focused, more energized, more centered than anything else you could possibly do. The one tool, there are so many tools that I talk about in the book, but the bottom line is that when you are just being present, you could handle anything one by one, one at a time. You have a painful thought and you breathe your way through it. Mm-hmm. It's not the only strategy, but it's the beginning of mastery over negative thoughts, over pain, over anxiety, stress, depression. It starts with the breathing, because most of us have an inadequate oxygen supply. So we're depriving our brains and our bodies of enough oxygen so that we could really be calm, because when we oxygenate, we feel better, we're happier, we're more enlivened. That's why after exercise, when you do aerobic exercise, there's like this natural high that happens. Well, the same thing is true. If you could be sitting at your desk, breathing abdominally, and initiate that kind of a response.
You're talking about transitions in this book, and America seems to be going through a transition right now. There has been,
I'd say so,
a change in leadership in this country from a pretty calm, steady leadership to one that is chaotic, that creates a lot of divisions. And what I personally notice, and I never thought that the leadership of the country would have such an impact on the way that people conduct themselves, I notice that people are really angry. People take extremes. Some of my own clients who seem pretty sane until you bring up the name Trump, especially if they're a Trump supporter, and then mm-hmm. they seem to have drank the Kool-Aid. Any
right.
words of wisdom for those of us who are attempting to navigate this new time so that we can bring our best self to what the next 3 years will entail?
It is a very challenging time right now. And no matter where you stand, everybody's been impacted, and that there's this really contagious-like effect. The bottom line is that the way we conduct ourselves and the way we create a foundation from which we can stand with integrity, and the way we bring that into the world, is the best that we can do. So if we really allow ourselves to be the best person that we could bring, and bring that forth every day into whatever it is we're doing, and bring our highest selves, then we will create a ripple effect, because that positive energy is also contagious. And while there's a lot of negative emotion out there, there's a lot of anger and rage, confusion, I think we each have to take responsibility for our own psyches, if you will, and learn fundamental tools like I give in the book. How to breathe to ground yourself, how to be grateful for whatever you have going on in a day that's positive, how to take in positive emotions rather than glomping on to the negativity, which is really hard to resist because it's so prevalent, but we could do it. We just have to learn how to stand in our power. And each one of us is responsible for standing in our own power and bringing forth the best possible energy to our families, to our friends, to the barista at Starbucks, who, wherever we're going. We need to bring that forth rather than sinking into the abyss of the negativity. It starts by just being present, being in our bodies, occupying full space in our bodies by breathing, by bringing mindfulness into our lives, gratitude, and really connection. And I think if we really build those things, then we are poised to find our purpose and have a greater understanding that as individuals, when we act individually and collectively, we stand to make a difference to ourselves, to our families, to the country, and beyond.
Will breath and being connected with our bodies prevent us from identifying with the chaos that seems to be happening in our world?
I think it will help enormously. I don't mean just connecting within, but connecting with others. I think there's a lot of trauma going on in this world, in this country right now. We have to rise above it, even though it's so cuckoo. The best way we could do that is to take responsibility for our own selves, ground ourselves on a daily basis. So in the book, I talk about daily rituals, morning, afternoon, and evening rituals that are all basic to finding that grounding that we all need. It doesn't matter where you stand in all of this. We all will benefit by doing just a few simple exercises, and all of them take under 5 minutes in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. And just by building in 15 minutes a day, you could really transform the way you show up in your own life and with other people so that you don't have to carry that negativity around, because that negativity brings us down and less effective. And why would we want to engage in that, even if we're not happy with the way things are playing out? I can't think of too many people that are really happy with how things are playing out in this country right now. It's frightening and it's weird to many. I can't think of too many people that think it's good the way it is. We need to make the best out of what we can. We can't wish away 3 years. Those are three precious years of our lives. Connecting with each other and connecting, you know, internally, so that every day you're just, okay, I'm breathing, I'm good, I have a positive intention for myself and for the people in my life and to the greater world out there every single day. You bring that forth and it will change you energetically. Everything I talk about is research-based. There's nothing woo-woo about my book. It's all founded on the best and most current research about how to change the way your brain fires so that you can have a more positive, joyful life. And that's regardless of circumstance. We're always going to have challenges. If it wasn't what's happening politically, then it would be something else. There's always something that we're facing, truth be told. This one happens to be huge, but we have lots of personal things, relational things. And when you have the tools to deal with any of it, it applies to all of it.
We're talking this evening about the important new book, Behind the Therapy Door. Dr. Randy Kamen is our guest this evening. Simple strategies to transform your life. When I think about America, what I think about is that our rhetoric is that we are the most prosperous country in the world, and we have more than pretty much everybody else in the world. But it seems that so many of us can only survive this great country if we're popping a pill, taking a drink, smoking some herb. We are numbing ourselves in order to not feel what we feel, to not feel the pain, to not feel the stress. Can you share with us some strategies that we can use so that we can be present,
be
present in our lives?
Yes, I can. That sets the stage for the whole book. And the way that we could learn to tolerate difficult emotions, so I spend a lot of time talking about that in the book, because most of us don't want to ride the waves of our emotions. And the only way through a difficult emotion is exactly that, is through it. So if you take a pill, or if you're drinking, or if you're smoking weed just to get through something, then what you're really doing is avoidant behavior, and you're not really going through it. It's okay if that works. But it's only okay temporarily, because sooner or later you have to deal with the demons of your life or the things that are really challenging for you. Because if you don't deal with them, they just persist. I'm sure you've heard the expression, what you resist persists. We have to come to terms with our emotional reality. And one of the ways to do that, and I talk a lot about that in the book, and I also have a free video for any audio for anybody interested, give you the link if you're interested. It's all about abdominal breathing, because breathing in a deep way, in an abdominal way, is the fastest way, other than injecting yourself with something, that you can get the parasympathetic nervous system going. So that's the way you induce a relaxation response, just by breathing abdominally, but knowing how to do it well. So what you're doing is you're making conscious an unconscious act and making it better, improving upon it, and getting so good at it that ultimately you could let go of focusing on it, and automatically you're just breathing abdominally. In our culture, for some reason, we have not taught out our children. So by first grade, children are not breathing like this. Everybody should be breathing like this. When you're breathing abdominally, you're not only present, you're embodying your body, and you're feeling emotionally calmer. You're feeling calmer, more focused, more energized, more centered than anything else you could possibly do. It's the one tool. There are so many tools that I talk about in the book, but the bottom line is that when you are just being present, you could handle anything one by one at a time. You have a painful thought and you breathe your way through it. It's not the only strategy, but it's the beginning of mastery over negative thoughts, over pain, over anxiety, stress, depression. It starts with the breathing, because most of us have an inadequate oxygen supply. So we're depriving our brains and our bodies of enough oxygen so that we could really be calm. When we oxygenate, we feel better. We're happier. We're more enlivened. That's why after exercise, when you do aerobic exercise, there's like this natural high that happens. Well, the same thing is true. If you could be sitting at your desk, breathing abdominally, and initiate that kind of a response.
In that same vein, Doctor, is breathing an important part of mindfulness? And can you explain to us exactly what mindfulness is?
I'll give you my rendition of it, which is, I do think it's so much about the breathing. In fact, some people teach mindfulness as breathing. What it is just being present to your moment to moment feelings, sensations, thoughts, and just paying attention without judgment to what's happening in your life and your body. And you can do that just by breathing abdominally. So my thought is, just breathe abdominally and see what you notice, because what you'll notice by breathing abdominally is that you're grounded, you're landing, you're not flying off into anxiety land, you're not depressed, you're just being. And being is the first step, is just being able to be with yourself and be compassionate with yourself. And the breathing allows you the space to do that. You have all these thoughts at night when you get into bed, or when there's a lull in your day, and it's easy to occupy that with anxious thoughts, what's going to happen. And instead of worrying about what did happen or what's going to happen, taking 5 minutes out of your day just to sit down or lie down and do the breathing calms us down in a way that you really only know when you do it. Just sitting and breathing intentionally has a very calming effect on the nervous system. You don't have to do anything else but that. But then when you take it on the road and you're doing it when you're driving, you're much less likely to have road rage, or when you're doing the dishes, I wish I didn't have to do the dishes, or you're doing an interview, or whatever you're doing, it's always an opportunity to be doing the breathing, especially if you find yourself disrupted, interrupted, disengaged. It brings you back. And it's great to do in relationships. when you get angry or frustrated with somebody, instead of disappearing on that person that you're sitting with, disengaged with, it brings you back into the present moment so that you could tolerate that conversation, that interaction. So you could tolerate things in your own life and in relationship with other people and the greater whole out there as well.
Therapy Door is what we're talking about this evening. Randy Kamen is our guest this evening, and we're talking about simple strategies to transform our lives. It's very, very interesting because the things that you're talking about, most people would not connect with therapy. I think that our stereotypical understanding of therapy is that I'm laying on a couch and you as a therapist is sitting and writing notes about me. And a lot of folks might think that, well, why would I need you? Won't a good friend do the same thing that you will as a therapist?
I think that's a really great question. And certainly this is not what I do exclusively as a therapist, but I feel as a psychologist that people have to have the tools. They have to have the tools to take in what's sweet in their lives, to be grateful, to be able to forgive, to be able to ground themselves. So I teach people these tools, but yes, then I also want to know all about their lives and where they're coming from. And how do you get past all the early injuries and betrayals and losses and all of that stuff. But without the tools, I feel like it takes 5 times longer to go through the therapeutic process. I love doing therapy and getting into people's lives and knowing what brought them to this point. But I don't want to see people suffer. My feeling is, okay, I want to learn what's going on in your space, in your life, in your heart, and then learn some tools and let's keep processing this. Because if you don't integrate the tools, it's the slow boat to China as far as I'm concerned. Because it just takes so long to talk about all this stuff, and it could progress so much faster. For example, if there was somebody in your life that you really were still hanging on to the anger with, wouldn't it be so incredible if you knew a strategy to forgive that person? Mm-hmm. It would just move you forward so much faster than if you could still talk about it and understand it and develop insight about it, and I'm all about that. But if you had the tools to understand it and then initiate some changes, not just in your mind, but really to maybe take action on certain things, maybe say certain things, be in connection if that's possible, and if not, there are other ways. But learning strategies makes a very big difference. And I think the talking is great, and I love to do it. I have a breathing audio, a free audio, that if listeners want, I'm happy to give the link. Dr. Randy kfaiinetwork.com/breathe, B-R-E-A-T-H-E, and then they could just download it.
When I think about the whole issue of healing, Dr. Kamen, I think that one of the biggest barriers to our healing is forgiving past hurts. What you did to me was so bad that I could never forgive you. I could never forgive that. Why is forgiveness important?
It's so important to forgive, and it has nothing to do with the other person. It's not that we're letting them off the hook. It's not that we forget what's happened to us if we've been hurt or betrayed or let down. And most of us have experienced that disappointment with parents, with siblings, with children, with friends. But without the forgiveness, we stay stuck. So the forgiveness is for us to have personal freedom to move on. Because as long as we're angry, as long as we carry around that bag of bricks, it holds us down. It keeps us small. And we can't really move on to create the lives that we really want to have for ourselves. Because we're bringing around all this negativity with us. So it doesn't mean the person's not accountable for whatever they've done. It just means that you want to let it go so that you could move on. And in the book, I give strategies for how to overcome this sense of anger, this sense of betrayal, and to truly forgive in your heart of hearts for yourself, for your own freedom. Some of the biggest atrocities, when Viktor Frankl talks about forgiveness and man's search for meaning, and that nobody could take away your personal freedom and dignity, no matter what, because it all happens in your mind. It could do anything to your body, but your mind is yours, and what you do with it is a choice. Every single day of your life, how you show up in your life is up to you. There are ways that you could retrain or train your brain so that it's on your side, that it's working for you rather than against you. And most of us are coming from a defensive, negative, or in a way that's not supporting us in the best possible way that we can.
You talk a lot in your book about affirmations. Can you explain to us what affirmations are and how are they important in helping us to show up in our world as our best selves?
That's such a great question, because here's the thing. We repeat certain phrases over and over again that are negative to ourselves. So that would be like the opposite of an affirmation. So when you're relaxed, your brain is open to suggestion. And that's when you could say, you're such an idiot. You really did that so badly, or you said the wrong thing, or you're this, you're that, you're an idiot, you're fat, you're getting old, you're whatever nonsense we tell ourselves. When we say those things, whatever you repeat to yourself becomes stronger. When you are saying affirmations, you don't want to make them wildly crazy about, you know, I'm going to be the next whatever. You want to keep it within the range of possibility. I'm going to create the best day possible, or I'm going to find my personal power today. I'm going to connect in an awesome way with my friends and all the people in my life today. So you're just working with your reality and making it positive. That's a good affirmation. I'm going to bring my best self to the radio, to my meeting, to whatever I do today. So that's an affirmation. You're using a simple positive phrase. We could either say negative stuff or positive stuff. So I encourage people to repeat affirmations about the stuff that they're working on. Let's say you're working on a project. You really want the best possible outcome. Instead of when you have a setback or a failure to say, well, that was so stupid and you really blew that, and to go into a negative tailspin, you could say, okay, I just learned something so valuable from that mistake, and now I know how to handle it. And you could proceed one way or another, and it's always a choice. How do you want to show up? How do you want to take that lesson? Because we're all going to learn, we're all going to fail, and it's what we do with that rather than the fact that that happened.
Why are rituals important?
Well, the great thing about rituals is that's how you train your brain. When something is done over and over again, what you're doing is creating neural pathways that are supporting you in a positive way. And again, we could do this for good or for evil. So if every morning you wake up and say, oh my God, I'm so overwhelmed, I feel lousy, why did I drink last night, I'm such an idiot, and you could set yourself up for that kind of a day.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what the outcome's going to be if you start with, so many women march into the bathroom first thing in the morning and say, I'm fat, I'm ugly, look at the wrinkles on my face, look at the marks. They set themselves up for not a very good day. If, on the other hand, they march themselves into the bathroom and then said something really great to themselves and then maybe sat and breathed and did some meditation, had a positive ritual, or sat down and played piano for a few minutes if they play piano, or danced around that, just do something that's uplifting in the morning, sets a tone for the day. So I talk about the breathing and mindfulness and positive intentions as a morning ritual that takes under 5 minutes. The more you practice that, the more positivity gets embedded in your brain. So you're more apt to set your day up in a positive way. And the same thing in the afternoon is to take on some positive rituals where you're taking in the sweetness of the day rather than being dragged down. You have a little pick-me-up that's not just coffee and sugar, but it's a real pick-me-up from your heart about, I remembering a moment I had this morning with my daughter, or I am connecting with my man today, or I am going to reach out to a friend. I'm going to take a walk in nature. I have 15 minutes. I'm just going to go out there and feel the air. When we create that kind of afternoon ritual, what we're doing is training our brains to be more positive, to be more joyful, if you will. We're not trained to be joyful. We're trained from an early on. We get this message that we're supposed to be stressed and doing all the time and busy and it's never enough. The day's never over and going, going, going. And sometimes being is a better choice. It's really about being for a few minutes, morning, afternoon, and evening, in a positive way in your body, in your mind, in your heart.
I know that you don't necessarily directly talk about spirituality, but at the same time, is all the work that you're doing, is it not considered a spiritual practice as well?
I don't speak of it as such particularly, but it certainly opens the door to that as a possibility. I call it transformation for a reason, and that is, when you line things up a certain way, you create the possibility of taking it to a higher level. And I do believe that when you breathe and when you meditate and when you are kind and have gratitude and forgive and you do all these things, it's been shown in terms of the research that you become happier and more joyful and live longer, but also it opens a pathway to a higher level of consciousness. There's no question. Whether you want to engage in that or not, whether that's for you or not, is a personal choice. It certainly does open that conversation and that pathway if one is interested.
You talk about gratitude. Why is gratitude important, and how does that fit in this conversation?
Gratitude is one of the keys to mental health. It's one of the keys to mental health, to happiness and longevity. When we can really be grateful for what we have rather than focusing on what we don't have, which is how we Americans have been taught, then a whole other place opens up for us where we could just appreciate all that we do have and that we are blessed with, because there's nobody that's not blessed with having in their lives, with having people that they love. Nobody listening here doesn't have something to appreciate. Maybe not enough as they see it, but there are so many opportunities every day to be grateful no matter where you're coming from, because you're alive and you're living to see another day and all the possibilities that that day brings, because every day we make hundreds, if not thousands, of choices that can enrich our lives or detract from our lives and make us better people that make a difference in this world. Everybody stands to make a positive impact in the world if they choose it. And gratitude, you know, really helps us to appreciate moment to moment what we have, because none of it is a guarantee. Any one of us could be gone by tomorrow. So we really need to just appreciate this moment, this day that we have in ourselves and with each other, because that's a gift. That's a blessing. That we could be having this conversation right now is not a slam dunk. It's a gift. I'm deeply appreciative, and I try to savor the sweetness in my life as much as I possibly can. And I have to say, that is a learned skill. I was not born with it. I really had to develop that over time with practice. And that's how all these skills get developed.
We've been talking with Dr. Randy Kamen. Her important new book, Behind the Therapy Door.
Seems like it's passing by. Just believe that love will find a way. I see the tears you cry. I see the pain that's in your eyes. So many times you were so lonely, and no. Are you trying to find a beginning or something just to hold on to? Always know that love will find a way. Is it hard, this life you're living? Does the world seem so unkind? Don't you worry, love. Find a way. Some say we've lost our way. Some say the world has gone astray. But if you know where you're going, there's nothing you can't do. 'Cause problems will come and they will leave.
but the truth will always be in your soul.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and around the world at kfai.org, the community's true voice.
We really love our Minnesota.
Oh my God, you are so Minnesota.
Guy lived in Duluth.
Duluth, that's in North Dakota.
Well, why not St. Cloud? I mean, I loved growing up in St. Cloud. St. Cloud is a great place to have a childhood.
Yeah, I mean, this is not the kind of music that comes from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
No.
Minnesota.
After the Walshes and I got back from Lake Minnetonka.
Whoa, wait a minute. You were in Minnesota with the Walshes?